It is a bizarre little place at the back of Nowra in which we did a premium experience, and I paid as much to do a premium experience in the back blocks of Nowra at the Shoalhaven Zoo that I would at Taronga Zoo or any zoo in the world. And I had a fantastic experience, and that was feeding meerkats by hand.
Welcome to Marketing Builder, the show where you'll get lots of little bricks of marketing advice to help you build up your marketing and your business. Drawing on over 20 years of marketing experience, your host, Daniel Oyston, will dive into a topic and provide you with short, sharp, and to-the-point marketing advice that you can apply to your marketing straight away. Welcome to Marketing Builder. Let's get on with the show.
Hey, hey, legends. Pumped to have you joining me for this episode of Marketing Builder, and also Todd Wright from Three Sides Marketing. That's the voice you heard at the start of the show, who joins us to answer the first of our listener questions. This episode is the first in an 8-part series answering listener questions. And while this show is released every 2 weeks, for those listeners who submitted questions, what I'll do for you is send you a copy of the show prior to release, so just so that you don't have to wait any longer than you need to for some expert advice. And speaking of expert advice, for each listener question submitted, each of the 8, they will be a whole standalone episode each. And I've invited some of the amazing marketers in my network to come on the show and provide some different points of view and advice for you, rather than just hearing from myself all the time. You'll also remember that I mentioned I'm giving away a copy of Bob Regnerus's book, the 4th edition of The Ultimate Guide to Facebook Advertising. And to be eligible, all you had to do was hit me up with a marketing question to answer in this series. So one of the 8 people who have submitted a question will win that, and I'll announce the winner at the end of this 8-part series and get the book in the post to them quick, smart. As such, first cab off the rank is Liz Fitzgibbon, based in Tasmania, and who I know is doing some great things helping the local tourism sector down there bounce back from COVID-19. And Liz wrote into the show and asked, "The current climate post-COVID has forced the local tourism sector to find a completely new audience, where most SMEs previously relied on international traffic. What advice do you have for these advertisers to capture a domestic audience? Where should they start? Where can they make the best use of small advertising budgets?" And when I got this question, Liz, I knew the perfect person to come on the show and help out. Someone who has a long history of helping local tourism operators, and that person was Todd Wright from Three Sides Marketing. Now, normally when I have a guest on the show, I'll warm them up and have a little bit of a chat before we hit the record button proper, and I'll ask them a few basic questions about their business, things like how long have you been around, how many staff, ideal clients, etc. And I'll combine that with some things from their website to create a little bit of a standalone introduction. But Todd gave such a good rundown about the business, Three Sides Marketing, that I think we'll just pick up the conversation there. Here's Todd Wright.
Three Sides has been running since 2007. I noticed some grey hairs the other day. So we've been running quite a while, and we've got a team that's based predominantly in Canberra. We've got parts of our team that's based in Sydney and also Brisbane. And one of our team actually works in Poland. So we're an integrated marketing agency with a digital slant. So we grew up as digital natives. So digital sort of drives a lot of what we do because it drives what consumers do. So we've spent a lot of time working with clients from planning, implementing, and evaluating their marketing from end to end. And in the tourism game, this is really where we started. So when I set up the business back in 2007 with my brother, I was working at Visit Canberra. He was working at the National Museum. And we both saw an opportunity in the market, and we love tourism. And we thought, what better thing to do than go to work every day and help people improve their businesses in the tourism game, right? And so we've worked with a lot of destination marketers and a lot of regions. We work with Sapphire Coast region. We've worked with the Yirrabadalla. We've worked with Visit Canberra on a sort of working in our backyard. We love where we live. We love what we do. So we've worked with Yass Valley Tourism, Destination, Southern New South Wales. We work with Southern Highlands on their successful Pie Time campaign. And you know, tourism's something that, although it only these days makes up about 20 or 30% of what we do, it's a big part of our love. And who doesn't love to travel and have experiences and meet people?
Hear, hear. Now, Todd, I invited you on the show to help answer a listener question. And the question I have you comes from Liz, as I mentioned at the start of the show. And Liz notes that The current climate post-COVID has forced the local tourism sector to find a completely new audience, because where most SMEs had previously relied on international traffic, that's clearly changed for at least the time being, the short term. How are you seeing that refocusing of the target market with your clients?
Well, it's probably a perfect time to ask that question, Daniel, because I'm back from a week's holiday, holidaying in my own country and making sure I'm not just doing half a holiday, as Tourism Australia is asking at the moment. Off the back of the bushfires across New South Wales and Victoria and Australia, then that came off the back of the biggest drought that we've ever seen. And then that rolled into a global pandemic. You've got regions that are hurting significantly right across Australia. Add in some border closures, add in some uncoordinated approaches from state governments, not talking to federal governments across Australia. And it's been absolutely devastating. And, international has always been a part of different businesses, but it affects everyone in a different way, right? So what we need to do is take what we used to do for internationals, which was probably charge a little bit more and provide a premium international experience for people that might have only been in the country a number of days. We need to evolve and adapt that product, that experience, and that offering right back down to a local market. We need to stop treating Australians as, oh, they'll know what they're doing and they've seen this all before, or, the bush isn't exciting for them, or they know what a beach is. And we need to treat them like they're discovering a destination for the first time, and go back to providing some of those premium experiences. Just on the weekend, I was down at the south coast in New South Wales, and it was fantastic. We found this little gem, which was the Shoalhaven Zoo. Have you ever been to the Shoalhaven Zoo, Daniel?
I have not, Todd.
It is a bizarre little place at the back of Nowra, in which we did a premium experience, and I paid as much to do a premium experience in the back blocks of Nowra at the Shoalhaven Zoo that I would at Taronga Zoo or any zoo in the world, and I had a fantastic experience. And that was feeding meerkats by hand. And at $80 a head, it's a 20-minute experience. You feed these little meerkats. You can't do that in a lot of places around Australia. So what they've been able to do is, regardless of international tourists or Australian tourists, they've been able to provide these premium experiences and bring things online that would match any destination, because it's small group, it's premium, and Australians are willing to pay, but they always want a little bit extra. They always want a little bit more. So you really need to think about your product development. So that would be my first tip. Small group niche experiences, provide premium personal experiences, and treat Australians like they just want to discover as much as international tourists.
And I love that, because it certainly equips people like yourself and others with some amazing stories to tell other people, and that creates really positive word of mouth. Now, of course, no one was planning for this pandemic, and some are still kind of paralysed because, as you alluded to before, even their best work can change quickly with outbreaks and border closures and the rules changing almost daily in some cases. How does that translate into advertising for these people? What's your advice on where local tourism operators should start when doing that refocusing that you were speaking about to their target audience? But I note that Liz has specifically asked about how that will translate into advertising and reaching those people.
Yeah, advertising is an interesting one, because the best thing that any tourism operator can do is actually advertise through distribution first and foremost. So what I mean by that is making sure that your product is accessible in as many marketplaces. Let me take the technical out of it. Let me call it Airbnb. Let me call it bookings.com. Let me call it all of the places that you're used to booking a holiday. For tourism operators, we call those distribution channels. So making sure that you've got your product exposed to as many suitable distribution channels as possible is going to make sure that you're actually advertising your product where people are ready to buy. So this isn't just about targeting people on Facebook or Google ads. This is actually making sure that that product is bookable at the point that they're finding out about. So you can't compete until you show up. So making sure that your distribution channels are there. If you don't have online bookings, you're about 20 years behind. Making sure that your experience or your accommodation or your tour, whatever it is bookable instantly online and distributed through multiple channels, and making sure that you've got a channel manager in place. When it comes to advertising, well, let's go back to my first point. Have you got a product that is competitive enough to stand up against everybody that you're now competing for, which is the same pie. When there's an international market, it's a different pie. There's new people that are coming in, but now we're all competing against each other. And I've always said to everybody, you know, your biggest competition has never been Hawaii, it's never been New Zealand, it's never been the United States or the UK. It's always been South Australia, it's always been Queensland, because a lot of these SME businesses don't have international marketing budgets. They've always relied on Tourism Australia to promote the country, they've relied on state tourism organisations to promote the state as part of the country, and then they just rely on those people then to go searching when they're inbound. Things have changed now, so now we're competing against people in the next region. You know, Sapphire Coast is now competing with Europa Dela Coast. But my question there for people is, how can we coordinate? So from an advertising approach, don't go it alone. Work in partnership with people. Work in partnership with businesses in your region to build economies of scale, to build an attractive destination which is worth going out of your way for. Because if you're just advertising alone, people will not come to a region that has one thing to do. But if you can act like a mini destination marketing organization, get together with two or three like-minded businesses and work together, you're actually going to build quality and build value there. And then you can worry about things like Google ads and Facebook ads. And as we all know, some of that traditional things are dying, print's dying, but in their place, there's always something in a place. Have a look at some, you know, digital influencers, people that are traveling and can no longer controlled by, I'm commissioning a story, they're controlled by themselves and talking to their own smaller audiences. So work in partnership to promote a higher value product and think about alternative channels.
While Marketing Builder is the name of this podcast, it's also the name of an awesome product that can help you sort through all the fluff of marketing advice out there and focus on the important stuff. Marketing Builder is a card-based system supplemented by online video lessons that walks you through, step by step, the most important things in a marketing plan, such as buyer personas, pipeline analysis, objectives, strategy, goals, budgets, and the fun and sexy stuff, the marketing tactics. And there's over 100 of them for you to consider using. The card sorting process results in a visual representation of your marketing, where you can easily see how people will engage with your marketing as they move from awareness through to a customer or client. Whether you're a small business owner trying to develop a marketing plan that you can actually use and are confident in on that very limited budget, or a seasoned marketer wanting others in your organization to have real buy-in and engagement with your marketing, then Marketing Builder is perfect for you. Visit marketingbuilder.net for more information. Now, the reason you're listening, let's head back to the show.
As you were speaking about people refocusing back down to the local level and working together, it occurred to me that some people may have been collecting emails from locals, from Australians who may have visited some of these places over the years, but they might not have been doing a lot with that email database because they may have been focusing on international travellers, but it kind of is sitting there now. They might be thinking, this looks a little bit attractive, I might dust it off. What's your advice for those who might have a bit of an inactive email database of Australian emails that they're thinking, this might be worth dusting off and trying to fire up to get some business?
Yeah, nothing focuses your marketing like a pandemic, right? So while you're opening that top drawer, if you're looking at some of the neglected things, like an email marketing list, there's definitely a few things that you need to think about. And the first one is, do you know what the Australian Spam Act is? And if you don't know what that is, jump online, have a look at the Australian Spam Act and also the privacy principles. And let me summarize it for you, is you need to have people's opt-in permission at the time that you gain their information to actually email them. A really great rule of thumb is don't contact them if they've been on your list for more than 2 years. So that's called an aged list. A lot of systems, things like Campaign Monitor, will actually say they won't allow you to upload lists that are older than 2 years old. However, in tourism, you might have a cycle where people only visit you once every 2 or 3 years. So if that is the case, reactivate that email using a really great platform and go out to people and say, would you like to start receiving information? Or put your hand up and say, hey, remember us? reintroduce yourself before you start putting them on an email a day, program from you trying to promote your products or services. And as always, treat your list with respect. So making sure that you're smart with your list. So sending the right information to the right people. And we talk about segmenting and targeting and getting the information right. But also make sure that you're respecting that list. If they've opted out once, don't opt them back in. There's a little old trick that I'll see people setting up separate accounts because there's been a lot of bounces or opt-outs. They've opted out for a reason. So always treat the list with respect. If it's too old, bury it and make sure that you're really smart with your data. And email in conjunction with things like having a website strategy, with a distribution strategy, with a digital ad strategy. Email is fantastic. It's one of the least sexiest forms of marketing out there that I ever talk to people about. But time and time and time again, you can point at the results. Email opt-in marketing is about people that want to continue that relationship with you. And email is a great way to do it. So I'm a big advocate for email as part of your overall contact strategy with your customers.
And of course, like you said in your previous answer, if you can find some like-minded businesses to market with and you can sort of leverage each other's email databases, then it's going to multiply the effects that you're trying to achieve as well. So Todd, budgets are always a focus, even when it's not a pandemic, but even more so now with various stimulus packages coming and going and money flowing through the domestic market and some state premiers trying to encourage people from other states to come and visit and spend their tourism dollars in their states. How does an SME tourism business make the most of a small budget?
Budgets are always an issue and people never like to talk about it. The one response I always get when I ask, what's your budget? They'll go, well, as least as possible. And, it's the old agency client relationship. They don't want to spend too much. They think that I'm just trying to get all their money. But the real question that you have to ask is, well, what do you want the results to be? And what is your current marketing budget as part of your overall income? Start breaking down and have a balance sheet question first to say, all right, well, how much does it cost me right now to find or keep one customer? And if you can answer that and have a look over the last 2 or 3 years in your business, you'll actually start having more productive conversations about what can I afford to invest and what do I expect the results to be. So with this, when we talk about small budgets or large budgets, people still expect results. So starting with some of those goals to start with, how much does it cost you to get one booking via, for example, Airbnb? How much does it cost you to get one booking direct? How much does it cost you to get one person via social media or word of mouth? So working out how much each of those channels are worth to you and then spending your money where you're getting results. So refocusing that question rather than saying, oh, here's a list of 10 shoestring ideas that you can just do for the smell of an oily rag. Go back and work out, well, how much did it cost me to get that rag oily in the first place? And work out, what are my goals for the next year? And your goals might have to change because of the lockdowns, because of the border restrictions, or you might have to build in massive contingencies because you don't know what the next 12 months hold. But that's 2021. Take the budget that you had last year or the year before and say, well, what results were we able to drive? Can we introduce some new activities? If we're going to be sticking with a digital ad strategy, where can we reduce waste and where can we increase results? Is this a DIY option for us or can we pay somebody else to help us get better results? For some people, they've got the resources and the people. It'll always be DIY. For everybody else, get some help. Get some professional help because you can turn your money and drive it harder rather than just losing it down a hole called Facebook or losing it down a hole called advertising on a local website that I don't know what they do. And always go out of your way to make sure that you know on a monthly or quarterly basis what your return on investment for that budget is. So, whether you're spending $100, $1,000, $10,000 or $100,000, it's the same ideas. They just get scaled, but it all comes back to your goals. It all comes back to how much does it cost me to find and keep one customer and how many customers do I want this year? If we go back to that first point I made, if you've got a premium product that you're able to charge a little bit more for, it might cost you a little bit more to provide. What's your profit margin in that? And can you actually make more by doing less? Isn't that the dream, right? Let's not focus on volume and let's not focus on being busy. Let's focus on being profitable and spending our money on those ideas that can actually help us breathe a little bit more. We can experiment a little bit more. And if international isn't part of your plans for probably the next 2 years, honestly, 2 years is the time when the government is saying that international flights should come back on. What's your plan for the next 2 years? Don't go further than that. But what's your plan for the next 2 years? Can you bring new products online? Can we have premium experiences? Can I work in partnership? Can I increase our distribution? And then what advertising do I need to get them there?
Sage advice, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree with this. We so often hear people wanting to talk about the tactics and getting excited about TikTok or influencers or what other people are doing rather than actually sorting out the foundation and then making the decisions about what are the tactics that they actually should employ. So, Todd, great chat. If Liz or anyone else who's listening wants to get in contact and continue this chat, what can they do? Where can they go?
You can reach us at 3sides.com.au. Jump onto our client contact form. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn, Todd Wright, or you can jump on Instagram. I'm sure you'll be able to find about 7 different ways of finding us, or send us an email at hello@3sides.com.au. But website's always a good place to start, or pick up the phone, or if you're in Canberra at any point, I'm very open to being bribed with gin, as I know that you're also a fan, Daniel.
I am. Outstanding. Todd Wright, founder and director of 3sides. Thanks for joining us and sharing your expertise and advice around the question that Liz submitted.
Thanks, Daniel.
Liz Fitzgibbon, thanks again for the question you submitted. And I trust that you and everyone else listening got lots of value out of hearing from Todd and the advice, which is backed with many years and many different clients in local tourism. As Todd said, it's easy to get in contact with him, and I've provided all the necessary links in the show notes for this episode, episode 37, at marketingbuilder.net, or just head straight to 3sides.com.au. That's a wrap for episode 37 and the first in our little 8-part listener question series. I'm hoping that these will build a great little resource for us all to visit whenever we need some advice and inspiration. Loved this episode? Good. Make sure you don't miss the next one and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever it is you listen to your podcast. I'd also love to hear from you, even if you haven't submitted a question in this little round, just about what marketing you're crushing, or maybe you're finding a little bit tough at the moment, or maybe you still have a question you want to ask. Please connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search for Daniel Oyston, that's OYSTON, or follow Marketing Builder on Facebook or Instagram. Just search for Marketing Builder or the handle MKTBLD. Until next time, may your marketing be awesome, and I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of Marketing Builder.
This show was developed, hosted, and produced by Daniel Oyston from Content Grasshopper, the creator of Marketing Builder. Marketing Builder is the easy-to-use, step-by-step card-sorting system for cutting through all the marketing fluff out there and to help you build a marketing plan you are actually on board with. For more information, visit marketingbuilder.net or contentgrasshopper.com.au. Thanks for listening.